The Israelites in that Old Testament period lived in a Mediterranean world where there were many gods and goddesses and demigods. You had the Greek mythologies and the Roman mythologies and those of Mesopotamia, etc. But the Jews always insisted that there's really only one God, the Lord, and there is no other. But they had a hard time hanging on to that because everyone around them believed in multiple gods. And so when they moved into the land of Israel, they overtook the Canaanites and the Jebusites who had lived in that region before, and they had their gods. And over time, the Jews intermarried with some of those people, and Baal, B-A-A-L, was one of the principal gods of that region. And so you read in the Old Testament every now and then the prophets berating the people for setting up altars to Baal, because the temptation to idolatry just always seemed to be there. It's not by accident that the first commandment, the first of the Ten Commandments, is, I am the Lord your God, and you shall not have strange gods before me. And the Shema, this prayer that was told to the Israelites in the first reading, and then Jesus repeats it in the Gospel, the Shema was a very central and important prayer to Jews then and even now. And if you read on in the book of Deuteronomy a few verses beyond what we heard tonight, you hear them being told that the Lord wants you to write this on like a piece of paper and wrap it up tightly and stick it into a leather pouch and then fasten that leather pouch to your head like a sweatband almost. So let it hang down there. So as you're walking along, that keeps hitting against your face and reminding you all day long, wherever you go, of that prayer. That's central to your belief, central to your existence, central to your being Jewish, is the Shema. It was to them sort of like the Our Father is to Christians. All Christians know the Our Father. And there's no prayer that we say more often than the Our Father. And we sing it even at Mass. It's very central and important to us. But we inherited from the Jews that notion of the Shema, that notion that idolatry is the first sin, because it's so tempting to put our attention and our focus in other places. So we have our idols, even today. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's power or prestige, sometimes it's influence, sometimes it's security, sometimes whatever will quell our fears. Just the attachment to this world and this life and putting our trust here instead of in the kingdom of God, that's idolatry. And so, just like the Jews, we have to keep reminding ourselves over and over again that this is the truth, and this is the way we want to walk, and this is where we want to be and where we want to go, that we're not really residents of this world, of this land, but we're residents of the kingdom of God. That's our true homeland. And in the book of Deuteronomy, they are promised if they obey this, if they give themselves over to this, they will live a long life. Well, long life in a generation hundreds of years before Christ, when the Israelites didn't yet believe in a personal resurrection, to live a long life was almost like the closest thing you could promise to life beyond death, eternal life. But Jesus ramps that up, and he talks about each and every individual person living beyond death and living eternally. And even years before Christ, there were hints of that in the Old Testament. And one of the ones that comes to my mind is in the book of Tobit, there's that line that gets repeated, love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than death. Jesus, who is perfect love, he is crucified, but But love is stronger than death, and death could not hold that perfect love, that divine love that offers itself for the sake of the world, that offers itself to the Father's will instead of its own. That kind of love, which we practice in Christianity, and that's what we do here in the liturgy, at least ritually, we want to lay our lives on the altar along with Christ and offer ourselves. There's a story told about an African tribe that converted to Christianity, and there was one man at Mass who was so blown away by the gift that Christ had offered on the cross that he wanted to offer himself back. So when the offertory plate was passed around, he put it on the ground and stepped into it. In a sense, that's what we're always doing here at Mass, isn't it? We're stepping into the offertory plate. We're not just offering something out of our pocket, we're offering ourselves. God offered himself first for us on the cross and asks nothing less of us than that we offer ourselves back to him as completely as we can. And even though we fail in this life, and even though our idolatries creep in every now and then, we keep coming to Mass and we keep reminding ourselves of what is real, who we really are as children of God and heirs of the kingdom, and remind ourselves to keep on that path, to keep becoming more and more willing to lay our lives down, to give ourselves back to God who gave himself first to us.